And ask Lucy and David and Aaron and Claude to come forth and just to share. Yeah, go ahead up here. And just a note that Louis and Lucy's father, Eugene, was there last year at Haiti. And heard lots of stories about him over there.
Okay. Yeah, so my name is Claude Paquin. For me, this trip was a little bit different than for some of them, because I've been working with Asian people for like a dozen years, and I call every month. I was on the phone with them this morning. So it was a bit different. But for me, this trip was like going over there, was seeing the children coming over, talking with them, and they're rubbing their stomach. And you got food. And some of them, hey, can I have your baseball cap before you leave? Can I have your sunglasses? Can I have your sandals before you leave? So they were asking all my clothes. I could have left my suitcase there. But one thing that really surprised me, on the first day, we were going shopping for lumber and tools, some stuff that we needed for the construction. And I expected to see a few different things, but we got to the lumber yard where you were buying all the stuff, and getting to the door, I was kind of shocked to see that it was three guys with a 12-gauge at the door. And the door to go in the store was like a steel door locked. And the guy looked at us, and he opened the door. We walked in. I thought, okay, now we're good. Walking in the lumber yard, and there's two guys there with a 12-gauge looking at us. Okay, so we bought all the stuff we needed. Now it's time to pay. The guy gives us the bill. We get to a wicket where there's like a plexiglass, bulletproof glass, and just a little hole, just enough to put the money. And Stefan, the pastor, he tells me, he said, Chloe, when you pay, you got to make sure that your money is, it's all U.S. dollars. The bills have to be brand new. There's a little bent in them or a little something. They won't take them. They have to be like brand new bills or else they don't take your money. But when we were working at the school, a lot of the children are always around us, always trying to see what you're doing, really, really curious of what we were doing. But at the same time, I noticed, it was my first time for a long period of time in Haiti. It's a very beautiful country with very beautiful people. They're very nice people, good heart. And they love the Lord. They really love the Lord. And at the school, it was very busy. There's like 700 students running all over the place. It was amazing just to see them. And yes, in my heart is there. I'm really going back next winter. I'm hoping, if the Lord's willing, to go for more than a week. Hoping to go for a few months. So it was an awesome trip. And I was bunking with Wally, so me and him, we had a good time of fellowship every night before you went to bed. That was great.
Hi, I'm Lucy. This year was my second time going to Haiti. Last year was it was different because, you know, I didn't know what to expect, so I was really nervous, and I kept, like, wondering what it would be like. And then when I got there, it was, you know, I didn't want to miss anything, so I was just looking everywhere, and I was in so much shock just, like, seeing everything. Because, you know about poverty in the world, but, like, you don't really understand it once you see it, like, before your eyes. It's really different, so. But this year was different. When I got off the plane, it was, like, a warmth in my heart. Like, I felt at home, and that's kind of weird because that's very different from our home here, but I just felt at home. And last year I worked at the school a lot, like I did a lot of painting and stuff like that, but this year I was more at the missionary's house, so I spent a lot of time with the kids that live there. And I don't know, at the end of the week it was kind of like leaving your friends that you see once a year at like Northland or Silver Birch's Bible camp, so it's really hard leaving because I got to know them more, like on a personal level, so like just their personalities, and I don't know, we really became friends. So yeah, it was really hard leaving this year, but I can't really put into words what I felt there because it's truly something that you have to experience for yourself. But thank you so much for all your support, whether it was like financial or through prayer. It's really appreciated, so thank you.
Well, my brother and I, this was our first year, and It's quite the experience going down to a place like that. You can watch all the videos or see all the commercials you want about, like, nations of poverty, but it doesn't really affect you until you go up to a place like that. So it was very jarring going there, but when we were down there, it was just amazing to see God's hand over everything and, like, how he orchestrated everything, and everybody who went down on the team had something to do. And it was just amazing how everything worked out. There were very few road bumps on the way, and yeah, it was a very good experience.
As Lucy felt, when I walked off the plane, last year was more of like, I didn't know what to expect, and then I kind of learned a lot off the trip. But this year, like, as Lucy felt, it's like, when you walked off the plane, you felt like a huge, like, warmth right in here, and you just know, like, oh, I'm coming back, and it's a great feeling. But this year, I had the privilege to work with my dad. We did a lot of electrical around the house, and I think we did a little bit of work at the site, but not too much. We were mostly doing all the wiring at the Charbonneau's. And I found this year what hit me the most was, like, the talks I had with Pastor Charbonneau, because, I don't know, he really spiritually strengthened me, and it was a lot of talk about evangelism and different things like that, but I would say, like, that was the biggest part of the trip for me, was meeting him, seeing him again and listening to his testimonies and stuff.
So anyways, I think you should give a standing ovation to this crew. They were awesome. It's always wonderful to be in the mixed crew with adults and youth on these mission trips, the same as at Kudrapik. And you ever get the opportunity to ever go on a mission trip, it's something that's worthwhile doing, because it's you'll never be the same. Hey, thanks a lot. Okay, I'm just going to show a few slides of what we're doing there, type of work. I think it's David mentioned that it was amazing how God orchestrated this whole trip, because we go there, and same as last year, had no idea what we were going to be doing. But when Pastor Charbonneau started mentioning all the things that wanted to be done, the unbelievable part is that they just happened to have the talents there to do that stuff. There was a lot of, they had a major problem with electrical, which is not uncommon in Haiti. It just happened that, of course, we had Eve and Chester, who were able to solve all the electrical problems in the house, believe it or not. And it was, their electrical system is scary. It's scary. You know, it sparks flying all the time. One of the big jobs needed was welding. Well, we just happened to have two people that knew how to weld. You know, and just all these different things, they fell in place, and it was just amazing. First job that I had, and Louis helped me here, is actually fixing a door. That's about my speed. There's Eve and Chester, and that was something I really, really enjoyed seeing, is Eve and Chester had a whole week to work together. And I think they both benefited a lot from that and became closer because of it. Little jobs, one of the little girls that's sort of been fostering, the Charbonneau's are fostering at the mission, needed some place to put her clothes. So we have Pastor Mike and Claude here building this. And she looks really happy about it. Welding. Well, Bill Burley. When he starts welding, stand back. He just goes like crazy. First thing we had to do is, like, we had a lot of benches. I told you about these really comfortable benches they have to sit on. Well, this is like one of them. They break, and they have to be fixed. So the first thing to do is fixing those. And here we got Aaron painting them. A lot of painting going on at the school. This is Pamela. We had a lot of painting to do. There's no glass in the windows. It's just all bars, eh? And everything's metal or concrete. Metal or concrete. And it has to be painted. Let's talk about talents. Charbonneau was coming up to Pentecost Sunday, and they wanted some flames. And we happen to have a resident artist with us, and David, who basically put together these flames. They're beautiful. And just there they are, putting them up in the chapel. The building, they're expanding the building. The school is at 700. They want to build it up to 1,200 students, and they're putting an extension on it. And believe me, this particular building is being built to engineering standards, unlike a lot of the others, because honestly, we saw buildings going up, and they were using limestone for gravel. And you just wonder, the next earthquake, what's going to happen? It's just scary. But it's all, like, they don't bring a big cement truck in, and then a concrete pumper in. No, it's all done by hand. And we had to build a ramp so they can get the cement mixer up onto the next level. And as Claude mentioned, always have a lot of kids around, especially during recess and that. The kids are all there. Another project that they gave us is that you see that hole, that black hole there. It's about a 15-foot drop. Not very good in a playground. So there's our project. We fenced it in. And even though things, the Charbonneau's car, somebody ripped off the mirror. And we all know what a power mirror in a vehicle costs. Louis managed with screw nails and plywood to actually fix it. So if you have a mirror taken off your car, see Louis. Shows you the expansion that's going on in the school. The building in the background, you see there, on top of it, I don't have a picture of it, but the top of it, they have these rebar going up. And right on the edge of the roof, they're standing on plastic boxes, tiptoe, attaching the rebar. And Norm, our brother Norm, was with us. He's sort of in safety in the mines. He was having anxiety attacks. And the big thing is working with us, with the kids. I mean, it's just, these kids are beautiful. I mean, they really are. It's just it's heartbreaking leaving them. And interaction with them is just so important. I see Aaron here. Beautiful children. Jamie Lim with having her hair braided. They're really attracted by blonde hair and long hair, which you can see with the kids they don't have. And blue eyes, yeah. There's Pastor Mike working with one of the boys. Lucy with some of the girls here in the chapel. This is a fellow here, is one of the pastor's sons. He likes the hair, same haircut as the boys do. In the mission compound, you have to understand, when you build a building, the first thing you do is you build a wall around it, and you put razor wire on top of it, and you build a steel gate into it. And a couple of years ago, these children were actually living in the street. And they took, I guess the crew built a shelter for some of them, and they took the rest of them into the missionary compound as a safe place. This is one of the boys. And they're sponsored to go to school. And they sort of have a place to live there. The girls on one side and the boys on the other, and they have their own charcoal cooker for making their meals. And this is what he's eating. They eat a lot of rice. They really eat a lot of rice there. This little girl is actually Sharp Nose who fostered her. She's a real sweetheart. Spoiled, though, eh? In the school. One thing we see, compassion or Compassion Canada or World Vision. I didn't understand the importance of sponsorship until I got there. If you want to get an education, you need to be sponsored. Otherwise, you don't get an education. Education is not a right in Haiti; it's a privilege, and the only way you get it is by somebody sponsoring you. If you don't have the money, and it shows a real importance of supporting these organizations that sponsor children, because otherwise they don't get an education. And the only way things are going to change in countries like Haiti is the kids get educated. Girls like ribbons in their hairs. There's the chapel on the Sunday. It was just a lot of energy. You spend a lot of time in church. It's not just an hour. It's a Sunday activity. And the singing is a lot of energy. As you can see, this group here, and it doesn't show up that well, but you see on the right, you're right, yeah. The ladies and the guys are leading the singing. And can't really see it on the screen, but the words are actually in Creole, French, and English. There's Louis singing at the cross. He was just singing in French to them. This was very interesting. Pastor Mike gave a really good sermon that Sunday. The fellow next to him is actually interpreting it into Creole as he's speaking. And he was really good. Pastor Mike would say a couple of sentences, and he would just right away interpret. Every once in a while he'd stall, and what did you mean that? But every time, Pastor Mike would do this, he would do this. If Pastor Mike did that, he would do that. But the interesting thing about this fellow, he's a teacher in the school. But he originally came off the streets as well and was sponsored right through the university. Again, the importance of sponsorship. Pastor Charbonneau, one of the things he would really like to start, he's trying to start in the moving, is getting teacher sponsored as well. The mission feeds 1,200 kids three times a week. And you wouldn't believe how efficient they are. It's amazing how efficient they are being fed. Yeah. Again, here's our team. On our day off, we actually went up the mountain, about 3,000 feet above the Port-au-Prince, and the scenery was just amazing. And this is the school. The king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." And that's those verses from Matthew 25 meant so much to me after this trip. Bring things in perspective. This poster that we saw, what it says in English, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" Alive. 65% of the population of Haiti is under the age of 25. I saw very few elderly people there. Very few. So that gives you an idea. Okay. This morning at Breaking Bread, we talked about tulips. And how one tulip is beautiful, is attractive. But when you put a whole bunch of them together, it becomes overpowering. And I know Pastor Mike would be saying this right now, but when Christians of different denominations get together to work for the Lord, it's just like the group of tulips all together. It's just something that's beautiful. People can see that Christians, despite their denominations, they worship one God, and it's for His glory. And that's the beauty of mission trips. The Kujarapik is one, or we have three or four different denominations on the mission trip. And this one, we had South Point Pentecostal and Bible Fellowship together. It shows a lot. Anyways, I asked Louis if he would say a few words and